Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Oh, it's another warm one out there today. It's about time that we hit the stretch. If there's any group of people in America that earned to have a stretch of nice weather, it's our group here in the Valley. It's been beautiful the last couple of days. Hopefully, it'll hold out through next week with the blue-white game coming up. Nittany Lions worked out last night. The next workout's going to take place tomorrow. It's a big week for them because they had practice last night, then tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Next week, they're just going to have the Monday, Wednesday practices before they get to the blue-white game on Saturday, the 20th. So we're looking forward to that. And we'll talk a little bit about Penn State football today. Plus, David Jones is going to join us from Atlanta as we do a post-mortem on last night's national championship game and college basketball in general. David Jones is going to join us. Our thanks yesterday, by the way. And you can check it out on our podcast with Jason Stark of ESPN. Ron Cook from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out the Steve Jones Show podcast on the interviews we had on yesterday's show that I think got the week off to a very good start. The Hilsers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Now's the time to get out there and the tools, the seeds, and everything needed. The weather's going to be like this. You need to make sure you are set to go with the best, and Hilsers General Store has that and much more. Don't forget, you can go to www.hilsersstore.com. I'm safely ensconced here at the Chateau, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And before we get rolling with anything today, including the IndyCar update of the day. In fact, I believe that going to the garage when the race was over yesterday, one of the cars passed somebody. Kevin will have an update on that. But first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr with Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes. As I said yesterday, I think this is absolutely positively one of his most favorite times of year, right next to maybe when football season gets underway. Because if you think about it, you know, yeah, the NCAA Final Four over the weekend, then the national championship game last night, then, you know, spring practice going on.
Really?
What's that?
They played one last night.
They did play one last night, yeah. It was a small game. It wasn't really big. But, you know, then the Masters over the weekend, as I said yesterday, this is heaven for you.
Well, it was also one of the better national championship games I've seen. It brought back what college basketball can be. College basketball did not need a 55-51 game. Did not need a 58-51 grinder, tractor pull. Basketball is a game of flow, passing, shooting, game of skill. Now, look, you can bang down low. I have no problem with that. No problem with contact on rebounds and things like that. That's part of the game. But last night brought back a pace that is going to keep people coming back to watching college basketball. Because too often we've seen the tractor pull game, 57-51, 55-51, whatever it happens to be, where a lot of contact, too much hand checking. Hand checking has got to go in the game. Hand checking needs to be out
at every
of
level.
The game. I mean, needs to be out. It needs to be out. It's outlawed. It's out of the NBA because look, they got rid of it. And you complain, you get fined. High school and college, you need to get hand checking out. It'll take, I think, maybe 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to get rid of it. And you're going to have to see some ugly things happen in the opening 3 weeks of a basketball season where there are a lot of free throws being taken and so forth to get rid of it. But it must be gotten rid of. It must be eliminated because that is not how the game is played. The game is not played where you have your hands on somebody the entire time. To me, the only time there should be contact is when you're going after 50-50 balls on the glass or 50-50 balls on the floor. Last night, we saw two teams rev it up, kicking into gear, in a dome situation, shoot the ball phenomenally well. And that's why the rating was over 17 in the final 10 minutes of the game and why the share was 32. Huge numbers in television.
Well, there was also a lot of talk about, you know, Louisville having the emotion, too. And I'm sure a lot of people tuned in because of hearing about, you know, the injury earlier. I think that has a lot. I'm not saying the game wasn't good.
Blah, blah. It's blah, blah. The final 10 minutes of the game has nothing to do with Kevin Ware.
No, I mean the overall, not the final 10 minutes.
Final 10 minutes of the game, the ratings went up to 17 and the share went to 32.
No, not talking about the last 10 minutes. I was talking the overall.
No, it doesn't explain. I mean, it may have something to do with it, but it doesn't explain why the ratings for the tournament were up.
No, I agree with that, though. The tournament ratings were up in general. And I think part of that is because the way CBS broke it down this year, you could see more games. And
you can see every game.
Well, all right. You can see every game and not have to worry about regional coverage.
Yeah. It's the second year in a row they've done that. This has been a great contract because it has allowed you to see every game. And it's also been a great contract for True TV because nobody knew it existed until last year.
Listen, there were cable systems that never had True TV on their regular cable, let alone HD, and now it's on in HD.
Hardcore on of it. Socked. Before it left, what it is. But the last night brought back with it the flow of college basketball and what basketball is. The NBA years ago, games in the 80s, they said, we can't have this anymore. And then they cracked down on it. They changed. They had to change. College basketball needs to change. John Adams, the head of officiating nationally, knows that they have to do something about it. Hand checking needs to go. Contact away from the glass needs to go. It needs to be a game of passing and shooting. You can defend and get your hand on a shot, great. You can get your hand on a pass, great. You can go to the floor and get a 50-50 ball where I think contact should be allowed, great. There should be no other contact allowed except on a screen. And this block charge thing has got to go. You call them one after another. Look, it is a misnomer that you have to be stationary with both feet down to do it. That's not in the rules. But I think you're going to have to make sure that it's in the rules. You got to have both feet. I've seen too many guys defensively are being rewarded for I'm going to throw my body in there and see if I can get a call.
So it's actually not written that way in the rule book.
No, it's not written that way in the rules.
Because I've heard it explained to me many times that exact way. That's interesting.
It's a standard that people try to use that makes it easier to call it, but no, it's a judgment call.
That's interesting.
It is a judgment call. Okay? But that needs to change. Start calling them one after one block after another unless it is painfully obvious that the guy is in the spot and ready to take the contact. I don't want the last, he went down. Oh, bull. Okay? I don't want, you know what? I don't want you diving in there the last second because you were out of position. Too many officials are rewarding out of position basketball. It is a game of flow and passing and shooting. And last night we saw that. And people love watching that kind of game.
Coach
Ratings
right.
Showed it.
I was just going to say coaches right now, but go ahead and finish your thought first, and I'm going to throw this in.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, coaches right now are looking all up and down their sub players, guys on the bench going, all right, who do we have that can come in the national championship game and shoot 22 off the bench? I mean, coaches are trying to find that player right now.
But, let's go back to February. Okay, which team did I pick to win the national championship, and which guy did I say was the key guy?
Well, you had Louisville.
Yeah, and who did I say was the key guy?
You said the bench. You were talking about off the bench.
I said Hancock.
Yep, you were talking about being off the bench.
Okay, that's in February. Okay, that Hancock was a difference maker. Hancock was a heck of a shooter when he was at George Mason. He's a transfer.
How is this guy, with what he's done in the tournament alone, how is he not a starter? Does Louisville have that many good players that he has to sit on the bench?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just amazing.
Siva. Okay. You're talking about Siva, Russ Smith, Bahannon, Blackshear.
I mean, I realize there's some good players, but it amazes me that he still sits on the bench.
I mean, Kevin Ware was a bench player. I mean, Kevin Ware wasn't a starter.
No, that's a good point. I had forgotten about that too. With all the hype, they're just a
deep college basketball team. There aren't a lot of pros on that team. Dang's a pro, probably. He'll be no better than an okay pro. He won't be a star, but there really aren't pros on that team. Russ Smith, maybe. I'm not sure, but that's it. It's not an NBA team. There are probably more NBA guys on the Michigan team. Robinson, Hardaway, Burke. Now, Spike Albrecht comes off the bench, scores 17. You know, his career best have been 7. He took a 3 in the corner against Penn State with about 3.5 minutes to go. And they went to a break. I looked at Dick. I said, they've cracked. They said, why is he taking a 3 in the corner? Because, let's face it, he's a guy you want shooting. Spike Albrecht is a 7 to 9 minute a game guy. His job is to come in, play 3 to 3.5 minutes each half when Trey Burke's on the bench, just to give him a rest.
He got a few more last night.
Well, I think it affected him in the second half. He was tired.
He had, almost 38 minutes, or 30 minutes. I think it was like 28.
Yeah. Well, guess what? How many points did he score in the second half?
Oh, he had 17 total. How many did he score in the second half?
None.
I didn't even notice. That's probably why.
Yeah. He didn't have any in the second. Burke picked it up. Burke had 23 in the game.
That's probably why I didn't notice.
But Albrecht is a good basketball player. He was highly recruited and coveted by Michigan out of Massachusetts with the idea that he could be groomed when Burke goes pro, and I think in all likelihood Burke will go pro this year. And Albrecht will be the point guard next year.
Still, 22 off the bench and being the first player in tournament history to win MVP and not be a starter. That's a nice night.
Right. In February, I felt Louisville was the best team. And I said I didn't say he'd be the MLP, but I said he was the key guy.
Well, Louisville was the number one seed overall in the tournament, too.
Right. Yeah, but they were not the number one overall seed in February when we talked about it.
No, they were not. I just meant they were the number one seed in the tournament, though. How many times have you seen that happen where the number one seed actually does win at all?
Mm-hmm. Especially
with the parity today.
Probably happens about a quarter of the time.
That's more than I would have guessed.
Probably happens about a quarter of the time.
Not a bad week for Patino, though. He goes into the Hall of Fame. He's got a horse in the Derby. His son gets a pretty good job. And by the way, now you've won the national championship. Nice week already.
He's trying to get the entire team to New Orleans tonight.
He's trying to get the entire team to what?
Be in New Orleans tonight.
Oh.
For the women.
Right.
Not to go to Harrah's.
No, although with his streak, I might want to consider it.
Right.
Man.
So he's a great coach. And when you're talking about the great coaches of all time, his name will be in the conversation. His name will be in the conversation with Wooden. His name will be in the conversation with Krzyzewski and with Knight. His name will be in the conversation with Rupp. I mean, there'll be a lot of names in the conversation, and he'll be one of the names in the conversation. And justifiably so. All right, David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News, is going to join us in the next segment. Kevin will talk to us about hand checking in IndyCar.
No, you don't do that. That's bad news in IndyCar. Don't touch an IndyCar.
I think we'd make it more exciting, actually.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So sad during the break. We can't get any pitching. We can't get any hitting. We can't get a clutch hit.
No. I said one time. Once.
I'm so possessive about being a Washington Nationals fan.
Well, tell you right now, Phillies continue to play like they have in the last week. I don't say we again ever when referring to that team.
I talked to Wheels about that, and he says he's in favor of it.
Great.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like Maxwell.
Here we go again. Yeah, that was an awful game again last night.
They aren't playing well. And Halliday got whacked around again pretty hard. I mean, he's not at the end of his career, but he needs to reinvent his career. He needs to find something that's different.
Stark hit the nail on the head yesterday when you had him on, which, by the way, you can hear in the podcast at stevejonesshow.com. The Phillies have an issue with the outfield. They have an issue with the majority of their starters, their middle inning relief. They have an issue with Howard.
The Phillies have three basic problems. If they solve these three problems, okay, they'll be a winner. Okay?
This ought to be good.
Okay? No, you could. The Phillies have three problems. That's it. They don't have any more than three problems.
Okay. What are the three?
They can't pitch, they can't hit, they can't field.
Right, which is the essence of baseball, yes. It reminds me of McKay. We didn't block well, but we made up for it by not tackling.
Well, let's transition now down to Atlanta. Last night's national championship game won by Louisville by 6, 82-76 over Michigan. David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News, PennLive.com joining us. Dave, where are you right now?
I'm checking into my flight, I think. I'm going into the security line.
Oh, perfect.
You know who that reminded me of?
What did that remind you of?
That umpire's call? Eric Gregg.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Remember the Eric Gregg call?
Yes.
Yeah, they were almost like Leslie Nielsen and the Naked Gun, you know? At the end of the, where everything's a strike.
Exactly.
The guy got blocked off. You know, he really got blocked off, and that was a wicked backup. Whatever the hell it was. What was that pitch? I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know what he threw.
He got a little blocked off, and it looked kind of like a strike at 40 feet, but then it wasn't. Hang on.
And Dave's going through the security line right now, and as he does so, we'll set it up about last night's game, which was won by Louisville by 6 over Michigan. Dave, I think, was in the second row of press row last night.
Very good.
And what were your thoughts just on what the pace of play meant to the casual observer of basketball and what it means down the road to have seen a game like that last night?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I just got done writing about it, about how, you know, college basketball is so much fun when it's good because it's like jazz or something. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy here, but it's like a great improv music. And NBA is so set piece, and it's never like that. Anything can happen in college basketball. I mean, Spike Albrecht, are you kidding? It wasn't just the pace. It was the fact that all these bit part players became integral in the whole outcome. Luke Hancock. And he's like a hired gun, 7 points a game scorer.
Right.
And here he is. Here are these two guys having a huge impact on the game. I think Rick Pitino said in some press conferences this year, and he's always liked to play this way. Beeline's always liked to play this way. That if less hand-checking was going on and more was called, and we might have to go through a painful stretch where you have to call a lot of fouls so the game can be opened up, it'll be a great thing, and we can have a lot of games like this.
Dave,
the NBA was opened up, 10, 15, 10, what was it been, about 10 years ago.
Right.
So they had meetings and said they can't do this anymore. No one's even scoring 100 points. That's what he compared it to. So he's hoping there's some dialogue among John Adams and the officiating hierarchy at the NCAA when they decide to start calling stuff that is inhibiting free-form basketball.
Dave,
so hopefully we can see a lot more of that than like UConn, Butler, a couple of years ago.
Well, I think it would take 2 to 3 weeks they could get it cleaned up because the players would know what was being called.
Rick said about a month, the first month of the season, and then people will start to know what's not allowed.
And it makes a big difference because last night's game, it's about passing and shooting and – it's about that. Sure, there can be some contact because the Shane Bohannon underneath the basket last night did a lot of dirty work for them.
Yeah, but that's a different kind of dirty work. I mean, that's where everyone's in contact and everyone has a free chance at the ball. Those are all 50 balls or 25, 25, 25, 25 balls where four guys are going after it. It's inhibiting driving. It's inhibiting movement of the ball freely that is important here. And that can be fixed. It can be fixed if they want it to be fixed. Anyway, it was wonderful basketball. And I've never had any more fun than I had last night watching a game.
Spike,
the whole tournament. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast is another example of this kind of stuff. Players being given freedom by their coach.
It made a huge difference. Spike Albrecht's career high had been 7. He scored the 17. In some ways, though, did he give John Beilein some fool's gold because he didn't bring Trey Burke back in the final 2-3 minutes that may have steadied the ship before halftime?
Well, no, because Luke Hancock's going to go off no matter who's in there.
Yeah.
Trey Burke wasn't going to be guarding him. And Luke Hancock believed he was making all those shots. I think he might be in a mind without putting thoughts in his head or knowing. He might be in a mindset kind of like Buster Douglas was when his mother died.
Yeah.
And this happens where players get a perspective of about the game because they're going through real-life problems, and they just don't care anymore. He was shooting like he was completely unaware of any consequence because he probably was. He's open. I'm shooting it. And when you're a shooter, that means everything. You can't shoot scared. You shoot with confidence, stroke it, and even with a little level of I'm showing you, kind of meanness.
Yeah.
That's the best way to shoot, where you're going to show everybody, this is going in and nothing you can do about it. That's the way to shoot, and that's the way he would shoot. So I don't think it mattered whether Albrecht was in there or Burke. They're not guarding.
Right.
And he's going to get them back in the game.
Yeah, no matter what, which he did. The next part is you saw Louisville in person twice in the last 72 hours. What kind of physical condition is that team in, and how apparent is it in the last 5 minutes of a game?
Yeah, Dick Girardi, our buddy, your buddy, my buddy, said at the end of the Syracuse game that he thought Michigan was wheezing. And maybe it's just that, I think Michigan's in great condition, but Louisville is in thoroughbred condition. Yeah. And I think Russ Smith was tired. He didn't look good the whole time, but Peyton Siva had a little talk with Patino in the middle of the second half, and he was goading him. Patino was saying, "You're not in shape, son. What's wrong? Dig in." And Siva was thinking to himself, "My God, I got bruises all over my legs. I'm dying out here, and he doesn't think I'm giving enough." And then it pissed him off, and he gave more. And that was the difference. I mean, Peyton Siva and Shane Bohannon in the second half were the most important part of the second half. Hancock was the most important of the last 3 minutes of the first half. But in the second half, it was Siva and Bohannon who I think won the game.
You were at, obviously, when Jim Boeheim got up in front of everybody the other night and Greg Doyle asked him about his future. how important is it for the fans to understand that when somebody gets to be 65 plus, that that is an important question to be asked of somebody that's been important to his school and to the game?
I didn't quite get the question, Steve. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I heard the first part. But
yeah, Jim Boeheim. He bristled at the question, and some people have said, oh, why ask him the question? Dave, that question has to be answered at this stage of his life and at this stage of his career, especially changing. I mean, you have to give people a perspective on that.
I would know, would I not?
Yeah. Yeah, but you had to ask the question.
I asked that question a few times to Joe Paterno.
Right.
And, you know, he took it sometimes that way himself because it reminded him of mortality. You know what? They're not saying that you're going to quit. They're saying, boy, you're old. You're going to finally quit. That's what people think,
right?
And that's what guys think when they hear that question. Patino tried to explain that Sunday, that, you know, Boeheim, being the curmudgeon he is, he's unfiltered, kind of like I am, and he's just going to say whatever pops into his head.
Yeah.
He's not going to try to be diplomatic about it. And Boeheim knows the question has to be asked, but he's in a position of power where he doesn't have to answer if he doesn't want to. So, you know, he ain't going to answer it. You can ask it. I think it needs to be asked.
Well,
but he doesn't have to answer it.
Right, exactly. But also, see, I look at it from a different perspective. It gives them the opportunity to clear the air and tell everybody and recruits that, hey, look, come back.
Yeah, well, too bad. Jim Boeheim run the program for 30 years. They're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
Unfortunately, my phone now has to go through security. What are we going to do now?
Well, I guess I'll have to kill it. I'll have to kill some time.
You're going to have to fill for 30 seconds, buddy. Bye.
I have to fill for 30 seconds.
On the other end.
You know what we'll do? We'll let Dave get through security and let him get on his plane and then move on. How about that? Dave, appreciate it very much as I say that into the X-ray machine. It's really dark in here right now. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All right, so again, a lot happens during the break. Kevin being very possessive about the Phillies, we this, we that, we this, we that. Now it's a big fantasy baseball issue.
Well, I just realized that for the first time really in fantasy baseball world, you really have to concern yourself now every single week with a player you have who's actually a DH. Not playing because they're at a National League ballpark. You lose at bats. I don't need that extra challenge in fantasy baseball. But that's something that I didn't think about until I just realized that I have a player next week who's coming up on a National League homestand.
It's not an issue in my life. I root for the front of the jersey.
Yeah, it's just another reason why I hate interleague play. That's all.
I don't sit there conflicted when John Lester is facing Derek Jeter. There is no conflict.
Yeah, like I said, it's just another reason why I hate interleague play.
I want you bye-bye. I don't. Well, they could be playing the Cardinals.
Yeah. I got a DH that's in Washington right now.
I have no issue when John Lester's facing David Freese. None.
I have a DH that's sitting on the bench for the next couple of games because they're playing in Washington.
Does Brewers, does Brewers Outlet have cheese?
Not that I'm aware of.
I
know Hilsers where you're General's, going with this.
Hilsers General Store have cheese?
They do.
I'd like to get about 10 pounds of it right now to go with all that wine.
It's like I didn't know where that was going. They have some really good cheese there, too, actually.
I'm sure they do. 1-800-795-9565. Jump in. Last night's championship game was outstanding, special. Really good. Was it the best ever? Nah, I don't know if it's the best ever. Doesn't matter, but it's one of the better ones I've seen. And obviously people responded because the ratings on it in the last half hour were outstanding. 32 shares, 17 plus rating. They were great.
I think a lot of that has to do with social media now, though, because people becoming tweeting or commenting on watching the game, and it's a close game, or this is happening and that's happening, and then people are tuning in.
Could be. Could be. I have virtually no use for stuff like that, but a lot of people do, so I understand that completely. I mean, it's a way of spreading the word, and the word's being spread that you have a great game going on, more people are going to tune into it. Brian in Shamokin. Hi, Brian. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Brian. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I'll see you in 2 weeks at the Blue Wing game again, buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Jack, be here on Saturday, and then we'll be set to go for the game in a week.
Oh, yeah, buddy, and I can't wait to see Tyler Ferguson. He added me on Facebook, and I hope he has a great game on the 20th.
Well, you're going to like Tyler Ferguson. Good arm. I think what he's really developed is a strong sense of the pocket in the last 3 weeks. He and Steven Bench, there's no real separation, in my opinion, yet between the two. They're both much better quarterbacks than 3 weeks ago. I thought both Ferguson and Bench had good practices yesterday. They both had good scrimmages on Friday. And I think that Penn State, we'll see how Christian Hackenberg figures into this thing when he gets here in late June and then at training camp. But Tyler Ferguson brings a lot to the table, Brian, that I like very much.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if anybody ever brought this up. You know, since they might not have a fullback this year, you think they might use two tailbacks in the same backfield?
Well, they have Pat Zerbe, who can play fullback. They do have that.
Oh, yeah.
But they also have the tight ends. Between Brent Wilkerson and Jesse James, they have a couple of guys that can line up in the I formation in front of a tailback. And so I have not seen anything yet that involves two tailbacks, but I've seen a multitude of guys line up, including Zerbe and those guys in the fullback spot.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to see that Gilliam's not going to be in the blue-white game, but I hope the injury's not too bad, and he'll compete for the offensive line. I know the offensive line's going to be great this year. I know that.
The offensive line will be very good this year. I think Ty Howell will be solid at center. John Urschel, very good. In fact, John Urschel's an all-league guy at the other guard. Miles Diefenbach has come on. Donovan Smith's going to be one of the better left tackles in the entire Big Ten. Gress on the other side has had to be the one that it looked like he was going to have to really compete a lot with Gilliam in that right tackle spot. But now Gress has been able to settle in a little bit there. And Eric Shrive gives them some depth on that offensive line where he's going to fight for a starting job as well. But Gilliam should be back in time for the start of training camp.
Yep. And the thing I could say about Eric Shrive there is that he does a lot of community work for everything, and I'm very happy for him. He's a great guy, and hopefully I'll get to see him at the Blue-White game. Never met him yet, but hopefully I get to meet him.
Eric Shrive is somebody that has raised more money than anybody else nationally for uplifting athletes, and it's been an incredible story. And it's by a wide margin. He outraises entire universities, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, I don't know if you mentioned this. I saw it at the Nebraska Spring Game. They let little kid with cancer. Oh, that was so great. I posted it on my Facebook page. That was so great. All right, hey,
Jack,
I'll let you go.
His name is Jack Hoffman.
Yep, and I'm glad Louisville won because we don't like Michigan.
Yep.
All right, you take care, buddy. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, Brian, I look forward to it. Jack Hoffman's the young man's name, battling leukemia. He was befriended Rex Burkhead. And if you notice in the spring game, he wore number 22. He's 7 years old. He's had to go through a living hell in his own personal life to get to that point. And this is where sports can be so good and such a positive influence. You see that they give him the ball at the 31-yard line. He starts to go left, and then Taylor Martinez turns him to the right, and then he goes straight up the middle. And, of course, they all clear a path for him, and he gets to the end zone. And everybody was going crazy when he did it, and it was a great thrill for him. He had his Nebraska helmet on, his Nebraska number 22 jersey for Rex Burkhead. And for that 7-year-old who has gone through so much, that is a moment he will remember his entire life. All right, that was a wonderful, wonderful moment. And last week was not a good week for college sports. In fact, I was talking to somebody, and they said, you know what? The Auburn people got lucky. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because Rutgers knocked them off the front page. I said, well, it's very true.
That's right.
And between Rutgers and Auburn last week, and Mark Emmert's performance at the NCAA with his press conference, those three things did not help college sports at all. And then all of a sudden, Nebraska does this. That was really, really special.
And one of the things you were talking about with Brian that I thought was really interesting is James in the backfield as a fullback. That really opens up the door. I mean, he is a huge target. Now, I realize he's not going to be a fullback every time, but putting him in the backfield really opens the door to doing a lot of interesting things every now and then.
Well, they did it last year with Carter and James both, and they used them a lot out of the backfield in that wheel route out of the backfield. I mean, and so Bill does a lot of different things formationally and runs a lot of the same plays as he calls out a window dressing. Well, that's window dressing. Where do you place somebody? Do you place him as a stand-up position in the slot? Do you put him close to the line of scrimmage as a wing back or up on the line as a tight end? Or do you line him up as a fullback?
That's a big window.
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, James about 253, 254 now.
Wow. 6'5", 6'6"?
He's 6'7".
6'7", okay.
But he was heavier last year. He was in the 260s last year. He's a special one, and Wilkerson's not bad either.